And if you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn with us to the Gospel of Luke and chapter number 2 this morning. Gospel of Luke, chapter 2 this morning. And we will be there in a few moments. Last Sunday morning, we began a new series here for our Christmas series this December entitled, "Tis the Season, Discovering the True Meaning of Christmas." And last week, we looked at one of the gifts that we are given because of the Lord's birth, because of His coming to this earth. And last week, we looked at the gift of hope, that the fact that when the Lord Jesus Christ was born in that manger 2,000 plus years ago, when He came to this earth, not only did He come born as a baby, but He came bearing gifts, one of which is hope. And this morning, we were going to go on to the next gift, but as I was reading this week and just recapping from last Sunday, the Lord laid on my heart something else along the lines of that thought of hope. What is the hope that the Lord Jesus Christ brought with Him when He came to this earth 2,000 plus years ago? And that's what I'd like us to see this morning. We're here this morning in Luke chapter 2, and it very well may be the most familiar and beloved portion in the entire book of the Gospel of Luke. Every Christmas it's read, all 20 verses together each Christmas Eve, just as we do at our candlelight service. I believe for the last several years we've used Luke chapter 2 at our candlelight service. And I remember growing up in church there in Philadelphia, Luke chapter 2 would be the central focus of the Christmas holiday. And, you know, it tells us something about this story. It tells us something about this account, and it's just a wonderful truth this morning that the story, yes, is old, but to God's people, it's ever new. And to God's people, we never, or at least we should never, grow tired of it. We should never think of it as, well, I know this story, I know this account, I know it inside and out, but it should be ever new, ever exciting as we read about the birth of our Savior as He was there in that manger. Now, here in Luke's Gospel, Luke chapter 2, we find Dr. Luke gives us three glimpses into the early years of the Lord Jesus Christ. He starts by talking to us about Christ as the newborn babe. And then he goes from Christ the newborn babe to Christ the child. And then he goes from Christ the child to Christ the youth. And so he covers three different spans of the Lord's life. And the part we're going to be focused on is the part where he is dealing with Christ in the middle years of his life as he deals with him as Christ the child. And that's found there in verses 21 through 38. And Dr. Luke now tells us about three important meetings in the temple in Jerusalem. He tells us about the child, Jesus, who met Moses in Luke chapter 2, verses 20 through 24. He tells us about the child, Jesus, who met Simeon in verses 25 through 35. And then he tells us about the child Jesus who meets with Anna. And within this portion of Scripture, the part we're focusing on this morning is going to be his meeting with Simeon. his meeting with Simeon. You're there, Luke chapter 2. Notice, if you would, beginning at verse number 25. Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse number 25, down through verse number 35. The Bible says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word." And I want you to keep this verse in the back of your mind, verse number 30. "For mine eyes have seen thy salvation." For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of the people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." I want you to notice there that phrase in verse 26, that he, Simeon, should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Let's just stop right there this morning. And let me encourage you this morning that the Lord's desire for you is that you would not see death until you too meet the Lord Jesus Christ. Until you too see the Lord's Christ. And then verse 30, "For mine eyes have seen thy salvation." For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. For a few moments this morning, I'd like to preach you this very simple thought. Have you seen his salvation? Have you seen his salvation? Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you again for this day. And Father, we do thank you again for your love and your mercy. And Lord, now I just pray you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit. May the words I speak be those of you and you alone. May the message this morning be a help, a challenge, encouragement to these your people. And Father, this morning, if there be one here that know not Christ as their Savior, Lord, we pray that they would not leave this church without getting it settled, 100% sure that Christ is their Savior and that heaven is their home. And Father, may we, as we celebrate this Christmas season, may we not get wrapped up in the materialistic and the just everything, the trappings of the season. But Lord, may we take the time to focus on your Son who came to be the Savior of all. And Lord, for all that you'll do, we'll be careful to give you the praise, the honor, the glory. We love you now and we need you, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. And so here in verses 25 through 35, we have Christ's meeting with Simeon. And Simeon and Anna, like Zacchaeus and Elizabeth, they were a part of the faithful Jewish remnant that faithfully and eagerly looked for their Messiah. We see that back in Malachi and chapter 3. And because of his readiness and his eagerness to die, Simeon was ready to die. You notice there, verse number 29, he says, "Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word." And so Simeon had this eagerness to die, and he's usually pictured as a very old man. But when you get into the scriptures and you get into the Bible, there's nothing here to actually support that theory that he was old. Now, tradition tells us that he was 113 years old at the time of his death, but again, that's only tradition. We don't know how old Simeon really was. Notice there, if you would, that phrase, verse number 25. The Bible says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for," notice this phrase, "the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him." That phrase, "the consolation of Israel," means the messianic hope. Simeon was looking for the hope of Israel. He was looking for the Messiah. He was looking for the Savior. He was looking, even though he would not know it, he was looking for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that prayer was answered for Simeon when he saw Jesus in the temple. He was a man who was led, and this is very important, he was a man who was led by the Spirit of God. And because of that, he was taught the Word of God. And because of that, he was obedient to the will of God. And because of all of those things, he was privileged to see the salvation of God. He was privileged to see the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this morning, the Lord has the same desire for you and for me. He wants us this morning to be a people that we're not led by feelings, we're not led by the culture, we're not led by the world, but we are a people that are led by the Holy Spirit of God, that we allow the Holy Spirit of God to have its will and his way in our lives, no matter what. And if we're led by the Spirit of God, then he wants us to be taught the Word of God. That's what you're here this morning to do. You're being taught the Word of God. And if you're taught the Word of God, then he wants you to be obedient to the will of God. And this morning, the will of God for your life, the very first thing that the will of God for your life is that you would see the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if you don't first get that settled, if you don't first get that assurance of your salvation, that when you take your last breath and you step into eternity, then you can't do anything else in the will of God, because in actuality, you're outside the will of God. And this morning, God's will for everybody here under the sound of my voice is that you would see his salvation, that you would give your heart and your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you would let him change your life and be led by his will. And so we see this morning how important it is for people to see God's salvation, to see the Lord Jesus Christ before they see death. Because listen, this morning, if you are here this morning and you die without the Lord Jesus Christ, that's it. If you're here this morning and you die without his salvation, that's it. There is no heaven for you, but there is a very real place that, by the way, it was not made for you and I. It was made for the devil and his demons. But there is a very real place this morning waiting for us, and it's called hell. The Bible in the book of Habakkuk talks about hell in hell, how hell enlarges itself. You know how sometimes when you're traveling and you're traveling down the road and you maybe pass a hotel or you pass a motel, and sometimes you'll pass a hotel and that hotel is completely full. That hotel, they'll have a sign out front and it'll say what? No vacancy. Folks, this morning, hell is the only hotel that will never have a no vacancy sign. Hell will always have a spot for the one who rejects the Lord Jesus Christ and who rejects his salvation. It's as simple as that this morning. There are two types of people in this world. lost and saved. And you're here this morning, you're one of the two. You're either saved or you're lost. And if you're lost this morning and you die without Christ, you will go to hell. And you don't want to go to hell this morning. Hell is, you know, if people get this idea, well, I'm going to go to hell and I'm going to have a party and I'm going to laugh it up with my friends and it's just going to be a grand old time. Folks, the Bible describes hell as wailing and gnashing of teeth, as utter darkness, as the fires of hell. And to this day, you read the account sometime of the rich man and Lazarus. To this day, that rich man is still in the fires of hell asking for just a tip, a drink of water. Folks, have you seen his salvation this morning? Do you know beyond any shadow of a doubt that if you were to leave this church and you were to die, I mean, you were to just kneel over and die. Listen, the Bible says, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away. Listen, you could be here today and then tomorrow I could get a call and say you were rushed to the hospital and you stepped into eternity. Dead. Once you're dead, that's it. There's no hope. While you still have breath, though, there is hope. You can still be saved. You can still know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior this morning. Boast that for today is the day of salvation. Boast thyself not of tomorrow. Oh, how important it is for people to see God's salvation before they see death. Notice there, if you would, verses 29 through 32. We find Simeon's response to seeing Jesus. Verses 29 through 32. The Bible says, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared. And I want you to notice this phrase. Before the face of, what's that, those last two words? All people. Folks, I want you to know this morning, there is no sin he cannot forgive. There is nothing in your life this morning that is beyond the forgiveness of the cross. Because the moment you say, well, he couldn't possibly forgive me, is the moment you call the cross unreliable. And folks, this morning, the cross is not unreliable. It's as sure as I'm standing here this morning. Salvation is for all people. Not just a select few, not just the rich, not just the poor, not just a white person, not just a black person, not just a Chinese person, not just the Jew, not just the Gentile, but praise the Lord this morning, salvation is for all people. And we see this morning Simeon's response to this. And we see this is the fifth and last of the Christmas songs here in Luke. You had Elizabeth's song, you had Mary's song, you had Zechariah's song, you had the angel's song. But we see it's the first of all, we see that it's a worship hymn. It's a worship hymn as he blesses God for keeping his promise and sending the Messiah. Notice verse 28. Then took he up in his arms and blessed God and said, he was worshiping the Lord for keeping his promise. Folks, this morning, I'm thankful we serve a God that keeps his promises. That when God says something, we can count on it. When God says something, we can depend on it. When the Lord says it, we don't have to think about it, worry about it, fret about it. We can depend upon it this morning. It's a worship hymn. He joyfully praises God that he has been privileged to see the Lord Christ. But not only is it a worship hymn this morning, secondly, we see it's a missionary hymn. It's a missionary hymn, which is something unusual for a devout Jew standing in the temple. But he sees this great salvation, and he sees it not just going out to the Jewish people, but again, there in verse number 31, it says the face of all people. So he doesn't just see it going to the Gentile or to the Jewish people. He sees it also going to the people of Israel as well. Verse 32, a light to light in the Gentiles and the glory of the people of Israel. We see here Jesus has restored the glory of Israel and brought the light to the Gentiles so that all people can be saved. Look there, Luke chapter 2 and verse number 10. Luke chapter 2, verse 10. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. And notice again what it says, which shall be to what? All people, Jew and Gentile alike, salvation is open to all. Why? Verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. It's a missionary hymn this morning. You remember this morning that the compassion of Christ for the whole world, that's one of the major themes of the Gospel of Luke. And we have a Savior this morning that despite us rejecting Him, despite us talking negative about Him, despite us spitting in His face sometimes, He still loves us and He still has compassion on us. And His ultimate desire is that we still come to salvation. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, not willing that any should perish, but that all men everywhere should be saved. And so we see this morning it's a worship hymn, it's a missionary hymn, and then thirdly and finally, and this is the most important of all, His song is also a salvation hymn. His song is also a salvation hymn. Notice there again, verse 30. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Now he's ready to die. Why? He's seen the salvation. He's seen the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. I ask the question again this morning. Have you seen His salvation? Listen, if you've not, that you're not like Simeon this morning. You're not ready to die. Because if you were to die, you'd die without Christ. You'd go into a Christless eternity, for hell, for all eternity. But Simeon now, he's ready to die. He's ready to depart. The word depart in the Greek has several meanings, and each of them tells us something about the death of a Christian. It means to release a prisoner, to untie a ship and set sail, to take down a tent, and to unyoke a beast of burden. You see, folks, this morning, God's people ought not to be afraid of death. You see, because death for the Christian is not the end. Death for the Christian does not mean we just stop existing. No, for the Christian, death only frees us from the burdens of this life and leads into the blessings of the next life. You know, we're all here this morning, and we all have folks we have seen gone on before us. You know, sometimes in our I guess, love for them, our desire to have them back. You know, there are times we find ourselves saying, well, if I could just bring them back. And I always ask the question, why on earth would you want to bring them back to this sorry old world? Listen, they're in a much better place than we are right now. And it would be like Lazarus, right? Lazarus, he was in paradise. He was enjoying paradise. His body was in the grave. And then all of a sudden, Jesus, Lazarus, come forth. And I always joke, I can imagine Lazarus hopping out of the grave. What, Lord, by now I stinketh. He thought he was done. Oh, and by the way, did you know why Jesus had to say, Lazarus, come forth? Because he had all power. That if he would have just said, come forth, every dead person in that cemetery would have got up and come forth. You realize this? Jesus is the greatest preacher that ever lived. And he never preached a funeral. When he went to the funeral, the dead rose. And listen, if the dead raise, funeral's over. There's no need for it anymore. Lazarus, come forth. But why on earth will we want to bring him back to this sorry old world? That he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Folks, this morning, have you seen his salvation? Do you know beyond any shadow of a doubt that if you were to die today, Christ is your Savior, heaven is your home, and your sins are forgiven? If not, you can see his salvation today. We'll have someone take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. Show you how you can be born again and know the Lord Jesus Christ personally as your personal Lord and Savior this morning. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed this morning. Let's stand together at our feet.